Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 13. You know, there's some folks that cannot stand to read a book from the beginning. They want to turn to the end and find out what's going to happen. And that's exactly what we've been doing. For the last little bit, Paul and I have been sharing the opportunity to look at the book of Revelation to see what we can see and understand. If you don't have a Bible and need a Bible, we have some here. We'd love for you to read along with us, follow and look at these few verses that comprise this chapter, Revelation chapter 13. Now I'll tell you, Revelation has lots of imagery and lots of it sounds, you get lost in it pretty quick, especially taking bits and pieces like we are doing. So I'm going to try and give you just some overview this morning very briefly to get us to where we're at. But first, let's go to the Word of God. Let's, if you would, follow along and hold your breath. This is quite a chapter in God's holy word. Revelation chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, by the way, John is witnessing this. John, the apostle, the one who leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus, probably the youngest of all the disciples, now very much up in years, possibly even in his 90s, isolated on the Isle of Patmos, where he has been banished by the authorities for being the last disciple of Christ, the last witness to the Lord Jesus. And he's having a vision. God has given him a vision. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Paul has reminded us. And it's been given to John to record. And John begins. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, but his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now the dragon, we read about in chapter 12. The dragon is identified, fully, clearly identified as Satan. And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man has an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity will go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man, and his number is 666, or we might say 666. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to your word and we read these things here that perhaps for some are, well, for all of us, Father, are just utterly fantastic and troubling and amazing. And we try to imagine what kind of world would this be and what kind of creatures are these things and what are we reading about? Father, we ask you to give us wisdom this morning. Help us to understand the things we can understand. Father, we know there are those things that we won't know until it happens, until these things come to pass and they're manifest in such a way that it's clear to your own what is going on. Father, give us help, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Triskaidekaphobia. Who knows of the young people, Prescott Down, what triskaidekaphobia is? Ooh. Triskaidekaphobia. What is a phobia? How about that? Phobia? Something you're afraid of. A phobia is a fear. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, tris is 3. Deca is 10. And you put them together and you have 13. Triskaidekaphobia is the fear of the number 13, like in Friday the 13th. Or if you go in a great tall building, there's no 13th floor. You look, you get an elevator. There's no 13th floor. And I've never been in a high-rise building that had a 13th floor. You look at the elevator numbers and all of a sudden they jump. People traditionally have had a fear, or there's such a, or at least there has been, perhaps not so much today, but traditionally, this regard for the number 13, and nobody knows why. I mean, you research it and you look, there's no good answer. Some have speculated because Judas was the 13th in that upper room. Well, I don't know if he was the 13th in. He was certainly the first to go. Others have attributed other sources to this number, but it's absolute truth that in a number of societies, a 13th number has been regarded more times as unlucky, if you will, than lucky. There are some that do see it as a positive thing, and that's true. But it's been so much so that even at the end of the 19th century, there were number 13 clubs formed to counter the fear of the number 13 and other superstitions. People would enter the club through walking under ladders to prove that that was not bad luck. They'd sit at tables to eat that had spilled salt on them to show that was not bad luck. And they were trying to demonstrate that these things were superstitions, the number 13. Well, today we're in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Now, chapters and verses weren't there in the original manuscripts. Commas and periods weren't there in the original manuscripts. These are things that have been added to help us find our way through the Bible. But it is chapter 13, and it does reveal to us some pretty horrific scenes and some very horrific personages that will one day walk on this earth. And it's recorded here for our learning, for us to be educated about, for us to understand the things that will come to pass. We're in the last half of Daniel's 7 years, the 70th week, that week of years. We have read that 42 months this one who is coming is going to reign. That'll be before the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So the writer wants us to know it turns out good. It's awful bad before we get there. Nice to know that at the end of the day, we're on the winning side. We're on the right side of history. But before these things happen, it's recorded for us here in chapter 13 some things that the Spirit of God wants us to know. And he's enabled John to see and know these things. Now, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of speculation on lots of things in Revelation. I will suggest a few things for you this morning, but I'm going to tell you. People don't know, and they speak dogmatically about it. They say, no, this is this, and this is this. They don't know. What I do know is what the Bible does tell me. And so that's what we're going to concentrate on, and then we will have to do some consideration of other things that we have from the Word of God. Understand this, though, when we come to this, and you see all this incredible imagery, and you're trying to imagine, okay, this thing comes out of the sea. Is that like Godzilla? And he's got seven heads, but he's got 10 horns. And did one horn head have 3 horns? And what kind of crown sits on him? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You try to draw this. It's unimaginable. And then he's going to have authority? How does that work? Chapter 12 was a good intro to this because it gave us imagery. It shows Israel as a woman clothed in the sun with the moon and 12 stars on her head. She gives birth to the man-child, which is the Lord Jesus. We see the dragon we're introduced to who wants to destroy the man-child but isn't able to. I think John is letting us see things from heaven's perspective. He cuts through the chatter, cuts through all the rigmarole and said, these images, these pictures that are being painted for us are to help us cut through and get clear understanding. You say, well, that didn't do a very good job because it's not very clear. No, it is. It's helpful. If we use the Word of God to interpret the Word of God, it is helpful. Does not mean we understand everything here, but it is helpful to us. So, verse 1, we should start, right? Verse 1, King James says, I stood upon the sand of the sea. Some others say, like a New American Standard, the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. The fact is, someone is standing there. Some translations even leave that little phrase out. The main thing that's important is John says, I saw coming out of the sea this beast. Incredible appearance. But the appearance tells us about him. It's not that he is that. The sea itself is a picture. It's a picture of the Gentile world. As all through the scriptures, the sea is seen as the constantly tumultuous world that we live in. Right? Some of the grandkids have had an opportunity to go to the beach. Did that water stand calm as a pond? Or was it always moving, always up, always down? Someone's famous today, they're gone tomorrow. This is happening today, it's not happening tomorrow. Things are riding, the latest news thing is happening like this. We've forgotten about a school shooting here because one has happened over here, right? And then something over here, and then something over here, and then the lava is eating up Hawaii over here. And we're constantly bombarded, and it's like the sea. So rising up out of this mass of humanity, John sees a leader that he calls a beast. Now, in Revelation 4, there are some beings in heaven that King James uses the same word, English word, beast, to describe. That's better living creatures, because it's just, they're just something he can't describe. Here, the word beast, the word that's a root of it, means is brutish, vicious creature. One you don't want to meet, daytime or night, in the woods or on your street. It's a horrific. He's telling us what the heart of this person is and what he is. He says, I saw him rise up out of the mass of people. Why now? Why here? What's it got to do with us today? When we get to this point in Revelation, the world has been under tremendous judgments. There's been war. There's been famine. There's been pestilence. There's been demonic forces set loose. There is a very limited testimony for the grace of God and the salvation found in Jesus Christ. The world is in turmoil. The world is in turmoil. The United States is in turmoil. How can I say that? Because the whole world is. You know, stuff goes on around the world. We don't even know. We don't even bat an eye. We don't even think about it. We hear they're eating the zoo animals in Venezuela. That was a news blurb about 8 months ago, right? Because Venezuela, once one of the richest nations in the world, is starving because of their political policies. And we read that and we say, man, that's bad. Next. It's coming. The whole world will be in turmoil. And they'll be in turmoil 3.5 years. And John says, the world will get the Savior they want. It's not the Savior they need. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This one will rise from among the nations. And they'll say, that's the man we want. Are we being set up for that now? 10 years ago, in our own country, we elected President Obama. Regardless of what you think, it doesn't matter what you and I think. The country, the will of the country, elected him to office. And in fact, it was evidently the permissive will of God that he came into power. Because people said, that's the guy that's going to save us. That's the guy that's going to make things good for us. 2 years ago, regardless of your politics, doesn't matter, the majority of the nation, by virtue of the Electoral College, elected the current president, Mr. Trump. Because there's a number of people who said, that's the guy. That's the guy we want. I remember back in 1976, maybe some of you do too. I remember seeing a billboard for Jimmy Carter with a beard and flowing robe that says, JC can save America. People are looking for that man. And it doesn't matter that whether he's Democrat or Republican, what he's going to be, a dictator that rules with a fist of iron. And the world is going to think, yes, this is the man. This is the one we want. Hearts are being prepared for it now. I mean, we're not that far off. We're not that far off. And it's the nature of humanity to want that man that's anything but the man they need to know. The Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of this imagery here, don't let it throw you. We use imagery all the time. Now, we're Bible literalists here at Central Bible Chapel. We take the Bible for what it says, and we believe what it says. And very careful about saying, oh, this really means X, Y, Z. If the Bible doesn't tell me that, then I don't go there. That's just man's fancy. When the Lord Jesus says, I will come again, I believe he will come again. He says he will come again. I take him at his word. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. I take him at his word that if you'll come, he'll receive you and he'll be your Savior. Well, we know there's imagery, just like we have right here. And we use it all the time. We do it all the time. It's not hard to grasp. A few weeks ago, our president was speaking about the MS-13, by the way, MS-13 gangs, these vicious gangs that operate in some of the major cities in our country. And you know what he said? He called them animals. Well, some people said that was an insult to animals. But we know he doesn't think they're really animals, like dogs and cats. He's talking about them being inhumane and without a sense of humanity. We don't have to go into the horrific things these people have done, the charges that are laid against them. We understand what was meant by that. And so this is heaven's perspective, this beast. And it tells us, if you look, verse 2, the beast when I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, we're not going to take the time today, but if you want to, take the time this afternoon, go back to Daniel chapter 7. Because much of what we read in Revelation pulls from and agrees with and overlaps with Daniel's prophecies from Daniel 7 on through the end of the book, through chapter 12. Daniel said, I'm not going to have a 13th chapter, I'll just have 12. But these animal images have relation to countries and people groups. The empires that Daniel foresaw, he foresaw the Median Empire, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and followed by the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was kind of a consortium of all that went before. And with the Greeks, we think of philosophy and art and refinement. Nevertheless, it might speak to us of that sleek leopard, you know, the bear of the Persian power, the lion with his regalness and yet ferocity as of Babylon itself. Well, Persia's Iran, Babylon's in Iraq. The Middle East is very involved in the latter days. These that are right now third world countries that give us a pain in our heel may one day, or will one day, be regarded and seen as very powerful and a part of this empire that this man heads. Wow. The creature is unbelievable to think about, you know. There's seven heads, you know, so we see that as representative of a grouping of powers or a progression of powers. The horns, authorities, crowns upon them. Some have equated that to a revived Roman Empire. You know, the Roman Empire was great, and then after it collapsed, it got separated into little countries, right? Little regions, little areas, things that we know as Europe and into the Middle East now. Well, they'll all be brought back together, we believe, under this one known as the Beast. He's incredible. And he will be, it will be said of him this, who, the end of verse 4, who is like unto the Beast, who can make war with him? Rhetorical questions, right? It means there's not an answer. There won't be any protest. There won't be any marching in the street. That will be done away with pretty quickly, if it were to happen at all. Verse 4 says, they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And we read in verse 2, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Do you remember Satan in the garden with the Lord Jesus? He says, I'll give you all the nations of the world. He showed him all the nations of the world in an instant, it says. He says, I'll give it all to you if you fall down and worship me. The Lord Jesus answered him with the word of God, that God is the only one to be worshipped. The Lord Jesus rejected that power, this one that rises from among the nations, says, thank you, I'll take it. Because he's Satan's man. He's Satan's man. He's Satan's anti-Christ. I think it's interesting that there's a head that's wounded unto death and yet is healed. I think the very image of him is a mimicry of the true Savior. Satan's counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this amalgam of creatures melded into one to represent this man and the kingdom that he will reign over. And it's a lot like what we see today. What's the key word today, everywhere you go? Diversity. 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 But they don't want diversity. They want lots of colors. But they want everybody to speak with the same voice. They don't want diversity of opinion. They want everybody to march to the same tune, one point of view. And that's the way it will be when this Antichrist rises up. Well, there's some other characters, some other images here. We'll look at them briefly. This one who opens his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 6, we read that. Remember, in the end of chapter 12, Satan is cast out of heaven. And it makes this comment about him. The accuser of our brethren. Lots of things you could say about Satan. The Lord Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of lies. John says he is the accuser of the brethren. And he's cast out of heaven. The Antichrist picks up on his game. He picks up on his game in verse 6. He opens his mouth against God. He opens his mouth against his dwelling place. He opens his mouth against his redeemed. And the world loves it. The world loves it. And he says, our problem here is these who won't conform. These who identify with the God of heaven. These who have taken the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. These are our problem. And the best thing we can do is be rid of them. Verse 7, given to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And he has power given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the bottom line right there. There is a difference. There's two sides. There are those that are in the camp of the enemy of God. And they might say, well, I'm not like that. I've done some bad things, done a lot of good things. I'm not like that. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How does that happen? Take the Lord Jesus as Savior. God has been offering His Savior throughout history. Here is the man. How can I tell he's God's man? Because his power doesn't flow from coercion. What's the difference between Christianity and Islam? Many say it's a peaceful religion. Many Islamists live peacefully in our nation. Many do. The majority do. So, what's the difference? Well, the difference is who's your founder. What's the character of the originator? If you can't think and figure anything else out, the Lord Jesus says, if a man compels you to walk a mile, walk two. If he strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If he wants your overcoat, give him your other coat. Make sure he's warm. Love those that hate you. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Be the children of your Father in heaven. Those are Jesus' disciples because that is Jesus. Muhammad was a warlord. Muhammad's power is vested in conquest, in bloodshed. That's the leader. That's the originator. He has much more in common with this man of sin who's coming into the world one day. Nothing in common with the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will receive finally what he has wanted since his rebellion. When he rebelled against God, we read in the Old Testament, he said, I will be like the Most High. God said, you're evicted. Satan will get full knowledge, worship in that day. The beast points men to Satan to worship the dragon. We read here. Verse 10 tells us, verse 9 says this, if you have an ear to hear this, you ought to hear it. Not everybody has ears to hear it, right? Lots of noise, cacophony of noise in the media. Some things we listen to, some things we ignore. The Lord Jesus says, blot all that out. I got a word for you. It's coming a day when the books will be open. Men will be judged according to their works. Some will have done a lot of nice things. But they're going to open another book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. We read about it at the end of Revelation. I mean, it's all laid out here. And they're going to say, is Scott Leach's name in my book? And you'll find that's the only book that matters. An old hymn we sing is "My Name Written There" in that page, white and fair. It's his book. That's the book I want my name in. Lots of other things could be charged against Scott Leach. No doubt, no question. But for the one who knows the Lord Jesus as Savior, the record is expunged. Not just pardoned, like the president might do. The record is gone. That's justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. There's a second beast. Time is fleeting. I will be quick. There's a second beast. You thought it was bad with the first one. He comes up out of the earth. Some think that means he comes up out of Israel. Israel is pictured as the land in a number of Old Testament places. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to tell you I don't know. But it's different. The one comes out of the sea, one comes out of the lamb. Perhaps it is, speaking of Israel. It says, has two horns like a lamb. He speaks like the dragon. Well, he's speaking Satan's words. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. This is verse 12. And causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, you can read 100 commentaries on Revelation. You can get about 60 or 70 different interpretations. I don't know if it's that many, but there is some dispute over who is who and what character is that, and there's always going to be. There will be till it happens. But I tell you what I see. And I think this holds. Satan operates as God. So we speak of God the Father. He wants that position. He has raised up this beast who had the wound to death and yet is alive, and people are amazed and wonder at him, to reign on this earth. That's his antichrist in my estimation. This second beast we see over in chapter 16 and 19 and 20, spoken of as the false prophet. He points men to worship the beast, the first beast. The work of the Holy Spirit is to point men to Christ. That's his job. He points. The Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. Never. His work is always to point men to Christ. He works in your heart to draw you unto him. He opens the scriptures to your understanding so you can see that guilty, lost soul is me. That's my life. He says, and look here, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus shall not perish, but has everlasting life. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of the Savior. He inspired this whole book. 40 authors, some odd authors, over 1,600 years, moved by the Spirit of God to write these things down, to point men to Christ. Everyone needs him. Finally, very briefly, this one who does great wonders, verse 13 tells us he makes fire come down from heaven to the earth. He deceives those that dwell on the earth, verse 14, by means of the miracles which he had to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And then, he gives life to this image. And what does it say? It speaks and call to cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast that they should be killed. If Satan's trinity, if you will, is himself, the Antichrist, the beast, the man of sin, and the false prophet, what is this thing? People have speculated forever. 100 years ago, some were saying, well, maybe it's some kind of ventriloquism. You know, it's like a statue, like Nebuchadnezzar's great statue, but somehow they make it seem to speak or make it seem to be alive. Now, we're much further along than that. But the thought right now, and if you follow science fiction or any science fiction, or even if you don't, you don't have to look very hard to see the thought of computerized people, robots, if you will, androids, if you will, being sentient. I.e., they think for themselves and conduct themselves in a manner that we would see that they are existing, not just programmed. Well, there won't be any living computers or living robots. I will tell you, I don't know what this image is, but I'll tell you what Scott thinks it represents. I have before me a book. It does not breathe, does not have a heart. It does not move off the table when I walk out of the room. It's inanimate from that perspective. But God says it's a living book. The Holy Spirit uses it to speak to people's hearts. The words come alive on the page. And in fact, millions have found life because of its words. And it says the same words as the one who is the living word of God when he walked the earth. Satan constructs a crude image that that punishes men to death. God has given us his holy word to point men to life. He says, by the way, the beast will exercise economic power. How do you get people's attention? Well, I'll tell you. It's real easy. We used to have truck drivers that would fail to get a ticket signed. We had certain jobs that we delivered gravel to that were for the state of Alabama. The state of Alabama says, you don't have a signed ticket signed by one of our people, you don't get paid. And we'd have drivers that, oh, I forgot to get the ticket signed. It was such a hurry, I was on my way. So what do we do? I said, that's fine. You don't bring me a signed ticket, you don't get paid for that load. No problem. I got a pocket full of signed tickets. Why? Because we're in people's pocket. That's what people vote most of the time anyway, right? Who's going to fill their pocket? He says, you're not going to buy or sell. We've got an economic crisis here, and this is my solution. I'm going to control it. And it's going to help everybody. So, but you're going to have to be identified as on my team. And then it'll be fine. You can have all the fruits and vegetables and eggs and milk and beefsteak and anything you want if you bear my identifier. And if you're a follower of Christ in those days, you say, I'm not going to have that. I'm Christ. You say, that's fine. Now we know who you are. It's pictured for us in the 666. appreciate your patience. We've gone a long time. Lots of more things that could be said and brought out. Why are these things here? Why is this written down? I mean, why do we need to know this? How do I even know it's for real? Well, God promised a lot of things from the Old Testament, and they've all come to pass, that they're up to the time to come to pass. Over 300 prophecies regarding the Lord Jesus alone, every one fulfilled. So we can gather that God knows what's going to happen. And then we can understand, He's telling us here what's going to happen. Well, I don't understand all of this. I understand some of it. I understand there's going to be a real division, a real marking out of who you're going to follow. And make no mistake, people get hungry for 3 or 4 or 5 days. You'll find out whose team who's on. The God of heaven implores of you, if you don't know my Son as Savior, make Him your Savior. If you don't know what your situation is as you look into eternity, which for some of us can happen very soon. And we've seen it happen quite suddenly with those we love and those we don't know. Kathy was in Houston 2 weeks ago, 20 miles from Santa Fe High School. 10 kids gone into eternity. Kids and adults. We don't know what might happen today, tomorrow. Are you ready for eternity? Do you know the Lord Jesus as Savior? Will you be left behind and see a day to come when it's too late? Father, we thank you for your word. Just more than we can absorb. Father, may we break it down so simply that you're the God of love, God of light. You want us to understand, to see, to grasp, to take a hold of your promises, your assurances, your prophetic word here. And there's this great promise that the Lord Jesus himself made. Whoever comes to me, I won't cast them out. I'll take them in. They'll be mine, and I'll be theirs. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life. Life eternal in heaven with you. Life eternal begins here and now. Father, the Old Testament tells us there's ways that seem right to a man, but the ends of it are death. Father, help us to have ears to hear and receive what you have for us. Find faith and life in the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.